Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is always a pleasure to welcome in one of the premier. I mean, this guy, let me tell you right now, he's right there. I mean, one of the great play-by-play men. I mean, you're already starting to get to the point where, like, we could say, like, in history already. You know what I mean? He does football. He does basketball. He'd do baseball if his wife would allow him. He probably would even do hockey, but he doesn't have time for all of that. The great Ian Eagle is with us. Ian, how are you?
I feel like I'm becoming a semi-regular on the Joe and Evan program.
And we appreciate
it. You know what
that
means? Ian's going to say, hey, can you send me a paycheck now? Weekly spot. Let's go.
Yes. That's my style. You nailed it, Evan. Next time.
Where are you
I'm
now?
I'm getting paid. I am in Memphis, Joe. Thanks for keeping up with my schedule.
There you go.
Well, I was going through
the
schedule.
It's hard to keep up with your schedule. It's almost impossible.
I was going through the schedule before, and it's so crazy. Tell me where I'm wrong here if I've screwed this up. Game one in Washington, D.C., Wizards, Atlanta Hawks, correct?
Correct, yes.
Game two in Los Angeles, the Utah Jazz, Los Angeles Clippers. Am I right?
Correct.
All right. And then now, game three, Memphis Grizzlies versus the Spurs and the refs. Am I right about that?
You nailed it, Evan.
All right. I'm all over it. Now, let's get down to important business. Were you bothered or offended or angry that Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson said, you know what, game 82, whatever, let's take out the red carpet for D-Wade and Jimmy Butler, let him prance into the playoffs, because I got to tell you, Ian, I feel very responsible as a Net fan for what's happening to the Celtics right now, and I love every second of it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the general feeling that I could gather was Sean Marks made a decision that he felt was best for the team. He wasn't thinking about the Miami Heat, the Chicago Bulls, about the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, that other teams are allowed to make decisions what's best for them. And why can't the Nets do the same thing? They didn't feel any need for Brooke Lopez and Jeremy Lin and Trevor Booker to play in the final game of the season. They were ready to hit the offseason with those guys. And while it did have an effect on the playoff setup, without the Nets beating the Bulls in the previous meeting, Miami wouldn't have had a chance to even get into the playoffs. That created an opportunity for Miami. The Heat had chances towards the end of the year. They had a tremendous turnaround, and I know how upset they were. But it's happened before. It happened with the Nets getting into the playoffs, had to play the Celtics final game of the season, needed a win to get in. And if memory serves, Doc Rivers sat a bunch of his guys because they didn't need the game. It didn't matter to them. And for the Nets, ultimately, it didn't matter for what their purposes were for the offseason.
And you know what's funny? What I remember about that year is the Nets won their game and then needed the Grizzlies to defeat whoever the heck we were battling for the eighth seed. I think Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right.
And the Grizzlies had nothing to play for, yet destroyed them anyway. And I remember thinking, hey, God bless the Memphis Grizzlies. They were basically responsible for the Nets, or helpful for the Nets making the playoffs. So sometimes it works both ways.
Yeah, and I think, if I remember correctly, Evan, the Calipari playoff year, did the Nets have to win the last game of the season against
Washington?
Detroit?
Oh, Detroit. That was
I thought it was Detroit.
I think you're right.
And then the Bulls swept them.
I think they were battling with Washington that year for the 8 seed, but
they
beat Detroit.
They were battling.
Yeah.
Correct. They beat Detroit, and then the Bulls swept them. The Nets actually had a chance, if I remember correctly, in game one. And they had a lead in the second half.
Yes.
And Kerry Kittles had the ball taken away by Jordan.
Mm.
Kendall Gill couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter, and they ended up losing that game, and they lost in three straight. And the Bulls afterwards said, yeah, you know, the Nets.
Were you doing the Nets games back then? That's a long time. You were doing the Nets even back then? Because I was still doing the overnight. And I remember going. I wasn't at the games in Chicago, but I was at that game three at the the old Izod, whatever name it was back then.
Continental Airlines,
right? You know, Brendan Byrne Arena, whatever it was, 100 years ago. But I didn't realize you were doing it that long.
That was me and Raf. Yeah, I've been doing the Nets 23 years. I'm 48 years old. I've been doing the Nets nearly half my life.
Are you really 48?
I am. I'm old.
Well, I'm dead if you're old. I mean, come on.
You're close.
I know.
Didn't you start by doing the Nets on the radio?
Well,
was it radio
on
and then
FAN.
TV?
This guy's
no,
like,
I know
I
that,
did.
But you did the Nets on the radio.
Yeah, for 1 year, 94-95,
okay.
With Mike O'Korn, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Standout, Big Mike. And yeah, then moved
Jersey
to TV
City
with,
guy, too, right? Is it Jersey City
and
guy?
Him and Spinarkle
right.
Went to the same high school, Hudson Catholic. One went to Duke.
Yep.
The other went to North Carolina.
Yep. Yep. That is true. That is definitely true.
Great talking to you guys. Pleasure.
I want to ask you about the Bulls. I know you haven't done the Bulls. You're going to do the Bulls, one of the Bulls games? You're going to do that tomorrow? Chicago Friday?
Yeah, no, we're not doing that one. We're doing Washington-Atlanta game three on Saturday and then game 4 on Monday.
Are you surprised about the Bulls being up to winning the two games in Boston? Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, well, what I would say, and I think Evan would probably agree, the Bulls team that we saw towards the end of the season in what we thought was a must-have game, that was not a good showing by Chicago at Barclays Center. And in talking to people that were associated with the Bulls franchise, they told me directly, the team's not that good. They just never really came together. There's been division between coaches and players, and it hasn't gone the way they thought it would with Wade, Rondo. But here's the thing. They have the best player on the floor in Jimmy Butler. They did like their matchup against the Boston Celtics. Celtics don't rebound the ball well. A little bit of a hollow number one seed just based on the way things developed in the Eastern Conference, and they thought they had a puncher's chance. With that said, what they've done, they dismantled them in game 2. Game 1, we know about all the emotion in Boston, and they come back home now with a chance to, I guess, surprise everybody in the NBA, but also to now validate their season. That means you can finish 500 in the Eastern Conference, which is not saying a whole lot, and still win a playoff round against a number one seed. It's a pretty good indicator just how tight things are beyond Cleveland. Cleveland is by far the best team, as we know, in the East. And then everybody else. I think Washington's improved a great deal. But Chicago feels right now that they just got the right matchup in the first round.
Watching the series, because, you know, watching the Bulls throughout the year when they played the Nets, when they played the Knicks, yeah, you saw the talent, but you also saw the dysfunction, and you felt like, yeah, they've got guys with resumes, but it just doesn't fit. Watching them over the first two games, not just the big guys, not just Rondo going into a time machine, but the bench performances that they've gotten in game 1 and game 2. Zipser in game 2 at a big game. I forget who it was in game 1, but Bo Portis in game 1. Like, it's almost like the regular season never happened. It looks like they look like the team that should have been the one seed as compared to the Celtics. It's crazy.
There were rumors, guys, in Chicago that there were people within the front office that didn't want to make the playoffs, that they didn't feel like it was a benefit for them to make the playoffs. And the fact that they did make the postseason, they shrugged their shoulders like, all right, whatever, we'll take our chances, but we're still going to have to make major changes to this team. This could change your whole perspective. If you win a round in the NBA playoffs, it doesn't solve all your problems. Obviously, their issues will still be there, and they've got to sort through them. And I do think there's been this disconnect between the head coach, Fred Hoiberg, and this team. But what they're doing now is what they envisioned when they resuscitated their plan during the offseason. Initially, the reports were they're not going after Dwayne Wade. They're not going after Rajon Rondo. They're going to strip this thing down, make a decision on Jimmy Butler, either trade him and try to get some assets moving forward or build a team around him over the next 3 to 5 years. This changed everything when they signed Wade and Rondo and said, all right, we'll try to win it now, try to make some things happen in the Eastern Conference. And the disappointment of their season really changed their perspective that, no, we got to go back to the original plan. They might alter that based on their result here.
Mm. Talking to the great Iron Eagle. All right, can you see Memphis getting back in this series tonight? Yes or no?
Man, it's a big challenge for them. You look up and down their roster, guys. They've got a bunch of players that if you're not a true NBA fan, you're not that familiar with. I don't think Wayne Selden is a guy that people around the league know about. And Andrew Harrison, who comes off the bench. James Ennis. These are not names that just slip off the tongue when you're talking NBA playoff basketball. Without Tony Allen, Kawhi Leonard is having his way in this series. I don't want to judge San Antonio based on this series and this series alone, because if they play Houston in the next round, the pace is going to be completely different. If they get to the conference finals against Golden State, the pace is going to be completely different. This is played at a snail's pace. That's the only way Memphis can play, but San Antonio can play that way too. They execute so well in the half court. I tell you that this was probably the worst of the matchups in many ways for Memphis, just based on the fact that their style is not going to work against a team that's just better at it than them.
Talking Iron Eagle, Coach Fizdell got a lot of attention for his rant after the game at the officials. I thought one of the points he made was interesting, and that's about Mike Conley, who has never been called for a technical, which I find like almost hard to believe. You would think by accident, you know, looking at an official the wrong way, he'd get a technical some point in the middle of, you know, January. But his point was maybe he doesn't get the respect because he's not whining and chirping at the officials. What'd you think of Fizdale's rant? And you think that has some validity to it, that Conley's almost hurt by how nice of a guy he is?
Well, I think first and foremost, if you're David Fizdale and your team has scored 82 points in game one, 82 points in game two, you recognize something has to change. Not to say this was calculated, that before the game he thought to himself, if this thing goes south, I'm going to really have to come out strong in this postgame press conference. But the way the game went in late in the third quarter into the fourth quarter, the fact that Leonard was getting to the line time and time again, there was a no-call late with Zach Randolph that caught Fizdale's attention, and I think that's when things began to really percolate for him. I do think he knew what he was doing in many respects with the opportunity to try to galvanize his team. At this point, they need to rally around something. It wasn't working in the first two games. Fizdale comes from the Miami program where I think he learned a lot from Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley for that matter. And I don't think that this was him just completely going off the handle. To me, this was controlled in many ways. He knew that there would be a cause and effect. The city has rallied around it. They've printed up shirts with "take that for data" as the saying. They're handing them out at the game tonight. So they're trying to use this as a motivating factor. As far as the calls, non-calls, look, I don't know what numbers you want to go off of. It's not like Zach Randolph shoots a lot of free throws. He doesn't. He makes like 2.6 per game. This is not a guy that goes to the line normally 12 or 14 times a game. He goes to the line four times a game. And they're just not, to me, they're not able to match up with them. And the officials did not determine the outcome of that game, at least from my perspective, watching it. I never felt during the course of the game like, oh, if the officials were calling this differently, Memphis would win this game. That's not what struck me in the moment.
What team in the East right now has the best shot at Cleveland in your mind?
I like what Washington is doing and the way this thing is developed. You better have a star that you can lean on if you're going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not to say that it's all on John Wall. It's not. He's getting help. Bradley Beal has played the best basketball of his career this season. I think he and Scott Brooks have really connected. The fact that Markieff Morris has brought an edge to this team, they can play that style. They'll push the ball up the floor because they have a one-man fast break and Wall, but their execution in the half court this year has been much better, and I think Brooks has been the perfect fit for them. That would be the team to me that sticks out so far. Atlanta tested them in game one. They tested them again last night in game two. Let's see how the Wizards handle the road now against the Hawks, but at least they've got the kind of style that might be able to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers over the course of a long series. That's the one team in the East right now that would at least have a chance against Cleveland.
You know, Joe and I have talked about this off and on for years. I'm curious your opinion as a broadcaster, and that's the NBA playoffs would be so much more appealing if you took the 16 teams and you seeded them 1 through 16. And I get it, there'd be a lot of travel. Not that anybody cares about your travel. You're going from one coast to the other in like five minutes.
Nothing. You're like unbelievable.
But it creates, you know, Cleveland not getting this cakewalk to an NBA final. And it also creates the possibility of rivals playing for an NBA championship. You know, dare I say, somewhere in this distant land, the Knicks and Nets playing for an NBA championship.
That's distant.
It's very distant. I get the travel.
A lot of distance there.
I get the travel aspect of it, but there really is no rivalry between East and West. Like, it's not like the National League and the American League. What's your thoughts on that as a longtime NBA broadcaster?
I think Adam Silver has been open to all of these possibilities, more so than any commissioner in a major sport, that maybe there are better ways to do things. And this popped up 2 years ago where I think they took it under serious consideration. They looked at all of the different aspects of it, the scheduling from regular season, does that translate well enough to the postseason that teams that are playing just the two games against the conference opponent, out-of-conference opponent, is that fair? Is that fair to rank them 1 through 16 based on record? They're not playing a balanced schedule. I think it would be exciting. Obviously, it changes everything now in the NBA because the way things have been lined up through the years, the Western Conference most recently has been considered the tougher conference. And if all of a sudden you can win a round based on the fact you're going against an out-of-conference opponent, it may change the scope of history in many ways for basketball. I think the NBA, more so than any other leagues, would be at least open to the idea of it. I don't see it happening within the next couple of years. There's still a tradition in place with the NBA. I don't know if they want to rewrite the history books with that idea based on the way that the schedule is currently set up.
Now, before I let you go, where are you going after Memphis?
Going to Atlanta.
All right.
Flight.
All right.
That's not too bad.
It's not terrible.
Thank
That's
you
not
for your
too
concern,
bad. Now,
yes.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, do you have any inkling who the Jets will open the season with?
No, I have no.
I thought maybe you got a
no
little
inkling whatsoever. I got no inside info.
Ian, did you think for a second that Phil Simms would be your new partner?
I did not.
Didn't they put him in the studio?
Yeah, that's happening
now. Yeah,
they
put him in the studio. That's official.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the indication that I had gotten was that was not going to happen. I've worked games with Phil through the years, preseason games. I probably done maybe 8 or 9 with him through the years. Really, I love the guy. Love working with him. If indeed that's how it went, then I would have been more than okay with that. Obviously, I love working with Dan Fouts, and we've now got 8 years under our belt. So my sense is that CBS was really happy with the way that we've worked together and that they made a deal with Phil to go to the studio. So it never got to that point, but I never heard that was a possibility in this process.
Yeah, we started it. We respected it.
It was us. And by the way, I hope you do the Jet opener. I hope that's you. I hope so.
Who are they opening with, Joe?
We don't know yet. I don't know.
No, I know we don't know, but what's your gut?
What's your prediction?
My gut.
Dolphins?
No, I don't think usually it's not a division game. Usually not. I don't know. Maybe Cleveland. They play Cleveland again.
That would be great. Week one. Oh,
that's
Cleveland.
That would be perfect.
If it was Cleveland, Ian wouldn't be there. That game's too below you. No, that's not. I said it. What did I just say? If it was Cleveland, you wouldn't be there.
It's below you.
I said it was below you. Come on.
You're hours away from this news break. And it's amazing that the NFL has created that much buzz for the schedule. Just think about that.
They can do anything.
10 years ago, I told you that this would be considered a big day in sports because of that. You said, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's just the schedule. It's a huge happening now.
The NFL can sell anything.
They are the king.
Ian, we appreciate you joining us. We know you're very busy. Great as always.
Ian, always a pleasure, bro.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.